I think there needs to be a legal opinion. This is wrong. You need to follow your guidance code that's there for a purpose.
You guys have an opinion on this?
Well, I'm on the Planning Commission, and we have done this before.
Okay.
To a specific buyer.
Which was at 115 Greystone, and that's when all 16 mm-hmm. were rushed through, and so it was too late for us to do anything.
Even if this wasn't at Branson Creek, if this was at Branson Canyon or a place that mm-hmm. has approved nightly rentals, there hasn't been any opposition. These folks still, if they're going to buy something, they typically get the approval during the purchase as a contingency of purchase. So we have to have a way to handle that.
Well, your guidance code doesn't give you that way.
And that's all we have to go by is what is written.
I think you need to get a legal opinion. Put it in a bag until you get
Well, so far we've had a night of legal opinions. I don't want to rule tonight.
Dan, I think you have another comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
Didn't you just say without planning and zoning, they're able to do that? In that code, I thought you just read
that one statement says it can't be transferred without planning and commission approval.
Okay, which was granted.
Correct. Transfer can go from an owner to an owner. It says an owner. You're all through your whole code, it's owner.
You do have a new attorney now, so you should get a new opinion.
You want to take a look at it, have the attorney take a peek at it. I'm reluctant to overturn what that man did because I think he followed everything he was told to do. But going forward, I would like to have some clarity. But I don't want to deny that man what he did because he did everything he was supposed to do. So I'm not inclined to reverse that. But precedents for going forward, I don't know. But I know that every purchase where a D3 permit is anticipated, it's going to be a contingency of that purchase. And so if that is actually the case, it will kill in resorts where you buy a cabin or a resort that's strictly for nightly rental, where everything's nightly rental. You won't have any purchases there.
If you get a Division 3 permit that is for a subdivision, which was just done at the PNZ, it's going to be a subdivision that it's all nightly rentals.
You are correct. That was done for the lodges at
Chateau.
That is
no problem. But when a residential community, that is a problem. It is an owner to an owner.
See, the problem I see with that, we're not talking about a motel or a hotel and getting your permits ahead of time. This is just a single-family home.
I understand.
That, a single family could live in, but they bought it specifically to do nightly rentals. They say they don't want to hurt us, but they are hurting us.
Well, yeah.
My opinion is I feel like he did the right step and did the right move with it. So, I'm willing to make a motion to uphold the decision that was made.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. I would like to get a legal opinion moving forward for any future sales on the situation that you've brought up regarding owner-owner, representative-owner.
Do you not understand your code?
I do understand what you're saying.
No, your code.
And that's why I say we're going to ask for a legal
opinion. But that doesn't help us on this one.
It does not help
us on this one. Are any of the others coming forward in Branson Creek?
I have my opinion on what needs to be done, and I've shared it. You guys know what it is.
I know.
But I can't deny that man because he did everything right.
He was told by somebody else this was the way to do it, even though it wasn't in the code.
The only thing that I can say is that we will get a legal opinion for all future ones, but I've shared my you know where my heart is.
So if we get a legal opinion, can we come back on it?
I can't see any way to deny that gentleman. He did everything right.
Do you have an opinion about this many nightly rentals in our residential?
I don't like it. It's my opinion.
I don't like it either. So what can we do about it?
Well, the cats that are out of the bag, I don't know that we can do much about it.
So we need to stop any more moving forward, and this was one of them.
I'm not opposed to that. But
do any of you live next to a nightly rental?
We probably need to stop talking right now.
I know, but You have got to feel our pain.
I do understand.
You've got to feel our pain.
I do understand. I certainly understand. And every month you have, and I know a lot of these people, and I talk with them. I know exactly where you're at. And
but when the P&Z makes a mistake and you point out the points, if you go right down the guidance code and show where it was wrong.
Well, we've ruled on what's happened tonight. If we can get a legal opinion for this type of transfer in the future, we'll see if we can address. But for tonight, that gentleman did everything
can
right.
Can I see a show of hands of the ones that are for this gentleman? I didn't see who voted.
We all voted to deny the appeal.
Every one of you did?
Yes.
I was opposed. Yes.
Were you opposed? Okay.
Was he the only one?
Did anyone else say deny?
Okay,
thank you. Do we need to take a break before we do old and new business? Or can we knock this off? Is a representative here for Carrie Brown?
Carrie,
I apologize for keeping you here so late.
That's all right. I'm good either way. If you guys need a break, that's fine.
Let's just get it knocked off.
Sure. Nice to be back. It's just past the 10-year anniversary where the modification we're seeking to address was approved, as I understand that. So,
Scott, what do you have?
Well, I don't have anything on PowerPoint. This came in.
Okay.
What we have is, and I think I sent you all that information, we had a decision from May 21st, 2008. This originally went to the Planning Commission for approval, and they did approve it, but their height limit was 100 feet. So then they turned around and told the gentleman to go to the Board of Adjustment because they were requesting a 200-foot cross. And on May 21st, 2008, and I gave you the recorded copy, they approved a 200-foot high cross with a horizontal span of 100 feet.
Okay.
About 2 or 3 weeks ago, they came in and they got Division II approval for the 200-foot cross. And since then, they would like to build that cross to 220 feet maximum. 218 somewhere their target, but they're shooting for 220 for the amended. So they're asking to amend, but our approval is only for a 200-foot cross through the Board of Adjustment. So basically, the Board of Adjustment would need to amend case number 08-2 from a 200-foot high approval to a 220-foot approval. And that's where I'll let the applicant explain his reasoning.
This is the one that's up at 160 and
65, yeah.
With that extra 20 foot, if it were ever a top over towards the highway or 160, is it going to hit the road?
It shouldn't, and actually we already have a variance for that as well. So that was approved in that same meeting. There was a setback variance as well as a height variance. So both of those were already approved. At the time that we got it for 200 feet, we were trying to come in underneath FAA guidelines so that we didn't have to put a big red light on it. Since that time, we've rethought that process, and we realized, you know, we really want to have that on there for safety purposes. And since the FAA guidelines was at 200 feet, we can go a little bit larger. We'd like to do that so that, again, instead of, 200 feet, get in the 218 range. The reason that it's 218 is we just, within about a week, 10 days ago, ordered between $400,000 and $500,000 worth of prefab steel to build the cross. Our goal is to have it completely fabricated and up by the end of October, if not before. It's set and prefabbed in 30 to 40 foot sections. So adding a section to allow us to do that, it's just a simple thing of subtracting a 40 foot and adding two 30s. So that's where
the
extra
location. You see my red cursor there? Is that somewhat the location, or do I need to move it up or down? I was going to measure out 200 feet to show.
We're basically, yeah, right in that area.
Because I've been out there and looked, and
yeah.
I thought.
I think we're a little bit closer to this one, this area a little bit farther south. But yeah, it's on this hillside. In the interim, this was the original 17 acres of which the hillside that the cross is approved for is on. We have since that time, in May of 2012, purchased this 13 acres that's next to it so that we have direct access and a nice 5-degree incline to actually construct the cross, as opposed to and your suicidal 40 to 45 degree incline trying to come straight up this part. So this property is entirely paid up or paid in full. We're debt free. We have the funding to go ahead and put the cross up. We didn't really, in fact, have to pull upon the community, which we're very thankful for, you know, from that standpoint. And we're just ready to go. It's, for us, it's just, are we going to put it at the original 200 feet, or can we squeeze a little bit more out of it and do 218? I put the ceiling at 220 with Scott because I'm also an attorney. I like to have a little fudge factor with it. But as I understand it from our general contractor, we already have FAA approval for the original height, and they didn't seem to think that there was an issue with going the extra 20 feet. So it's entirely up to you guys.
Scott, would you go 220 foot? Is it at the road or the parking lot or anything?
I've got 219 here.
Okay.
I did talk to MoDOT, and she remembered it, their engineer. She remembered the only thing she said they had was some kind of entrance off down in here that they were working on, but she thought that had passed or something had happened, but that was the only thing. She didn't have any other issues that cropped up with the cross originally back in 2008. There's 221.
Will that allow the topographical map as well?
You mean to put the contour lines on?
Right.
The contour lines for that are 100 feet above US 65 at that location. So you're essentially got 100 feet of elevation between here and here, and it's pretty steep.
Yeah. So you just want
that. There
it is. Yeah. It's 1164, and this is 1084.
Those are 10-foot topo lines?
Well, this is 1084, and that's 1164.
It's just under 100 feet.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty high there.
Yeah. Wow.
It's where they blasted out all that rock, so, I mean, it's quite a ways up there.
You're going to hook a zip line up to it?
No, but I was halfway tempted to tease about making it a rentable structure because of the stress of earlier, just to get a laugh out of it. But no, that's not what we're interested in doing in the county. We just basically want to have something that's going to be a northern gateway for the city of Branson that is going to, you know, basically be a cross in the heartland of America. And
one thing I didn't add in the original approval was for a cross to actually be entered, somewhat like the arch. They were going to enter it, and so it was going to be quite elaborate, but now I understand it's basically a sign. They will have a door to get in to do some maintenance, but it's not going to be a...
Right. Originally, we were looking at twin elevators to take people to the horizontal cross beam. My father is the original vision carrier. He's 85. He'd like to see something before he dies, and it's been 10 years that we've been working on it. It took us a while to get our infrastructure and everything set up. I still want to build the elevated cross, and in fact, at some point I'm going to come back with the 13 acres that's right next to this. I think putting three crosses up, doing two of this type, one on either side, and then doing an elevator cross in the center of that area is where the vision is going to go. So I'm going to be back at some point, and I consider this one that we're putting in to be the phase two cross, which is at the height or better. We will be able to go through and walk into the cross. We won't be able to go up in it, but there were design things that we needed to work out and structural things that we needed to work out, and we opted for safety first while we're working out the details, but we don't want to spend a lot more time doing this because of just the situation. So,
do you guys own that property that's to the north of that, where the old arc and stuff like that?
That's actually part of the 17 acres.
Okay, yeah, it looked like
the blue
area. Yeah.
We
renovated that building as part of what we were doing because we had to have something on the land that would allow us to do administrative work and allow us to take.
Your access is off of 160 in the commuter area.
Yep. This area here. We renovated this entire building, two-thirds of it. We rent to Creation Ministry, the Ozarks, which is a free admission, and actually the cross is also free admission.
Okay.
One-third of it, we have a ministry office And then my wife and I have a small little pastoral apartment that we live in the end of the building, so that we're always on site and able to take care of the situation. So we're just that close.
This is their entrance here, and they own this.